Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers.
So Obama is talking to the brothers right there in the clip of Barack Obama standing in this, I don't know if it was like a lobby or something like that, talking to these individuals. You could really see Obama, but you couldn't. Am I right? You can't see the people who he's talking
to.
Yeah,
like half a guy off the side of the screen is about it.
Who looks like he's probably there with Barack Obama.
Yeah. He looks like he's part of the campaign.
He's the one who's on the side of the talking to, not being the talked at. We spoke with Bruce Lavelle a little bit earlier from the Trump campaign about this issue, but I'm really excited to have Droy Murdoch back on with us, nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. And he's got a story out right now on this particular issue because Barack Obama, like, it seemed like there was a little bit of a panic button that had been pressed when he was delivering this message to, in his terms, the brothers. Droy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
And yeah, great to be with you.
What did you make of all of that? Of Barack Obama's, especially his choice of words in his little lecture he gave?
Absolutely. Well, I wrote a piece about this that's on the American Spectator right now. My headline is Men to Boys, Obama Treats the Brothers Like Babies. And it's just so objectionable, this whole idea of Obama coming along and lecturing black men and saying, well, you know, we're somehow going off the ranch or going off the plantation. How dare we not support Kamala Harris? It's not acceptable. And he doesn't say, look, you know, you disagree on the issues or maybe you don't understand a record or whatever it is. But the whole idea is, oh, we're just a bunch of sexists and misogynists and we hate women and that kind of thing. Deeply, deeply condescending, very insulting. And a lot of black men have responded to this by saying, you know, excuse me, who are you to tell us what to think? I mean, I thought the whole idea of the civil rights movement was that we are individuals, we have our own minds, we have our own ways of thinking and our beliefs and philosophies, and we can come up with whatever decision we want as to what ought to be the next president of the United States. And we don't need Obama's permission before we go to the polls to pull the lever for whichever candidate we think would do the best job as commander-in-chief.
Droy, you know, Joe Biden himself told Charlemagne the God, a black man who has is very respected in broadcasting, has a huge following, that if somebody's questioning as a black individual whether or not they're going to vote for Joe Biden or the alternative in 2020, then Joe Biden said, you ain't black. And I thought, wow, you really just put it out there. We don't have to speculate anymore about how the Democrat Party feels about black individuals and where their alliances should be. Was this Barack Obama essentially saying the same thing to these individuals, just in his more articulate Barack Obama type of way?
Yeah, absolutely right. I think this was Obama's Joe Biden moment, or if you will, his you ain't black moment, precisely correct. And it's so incredibly uninformed as well. I mean, this argument makes absolutely no sense because you've seen the black vote and particularly the black male vote moving away from the Democrat Party well before Kamala Harris came around. You know, in 2020, Trump earned 19% Let me backtrack. 2016, he earned, I believe, 13% of the black male vote. By 2020, that went up to 19%, and that was Trump versus Joe Biden. So there's no women involved. There's no opportunity for misogyny there. And then up until the point where Kamala Harris stepped in and Joe Biden suffered the coup d'etat, even there, you saw an increase in the numbers for Trump from 19%. Early this year, two different surveys had black men voting, 23% of black men supporting Trump. So this is, again, a further move from 13% to 19% up to 23% when there were no women involved. Kamala Harris was still VP. She was not the nominee. The nomination had not been stolen from Joe Biden quite yet. So you can't say this is the brothers who aren't feeling good about a woman being in the White House. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with disenchantment with the Democrat Party, with their record, with their ideas, and the performance of the Harris-Biden government. So this has nothing to do with we don't like women or anything like that. So this is an incredibly uninformed and very ignorant comment on the part of Obama towards black men in this country.
We're speaking with Dori Burdock, a nationally syndicated columnist, a Fox News contributor as well. I hear about women's issues. I hear about black issues. We've heard certainly about black jobs recently, which we talk about all of these demographically divided issues. And then when Donald Trump mentions black jobs, the left pulls their hair out over it. Do you consider there to be issues that are specific to the black community or messages that need to be delivered by either candidate on either side of the aisle that speak specifically to the the demographic of skin color, black people, differently than maybe brown people or white people, so on and so forth?
I don't think there's anything that is exclusively a black issue. I think there's somewhere things will resonate more with black folks because of socioeconomic circumstances or just whatever lives most black people happen to live. I think number one is school choice. If you're living in a white suburb, the chances are your kids are getting a better education than kids that were living in black neighborhoods. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so I think the GOP has an excellent opportunity. In fact, I wish Trump would talk more about his record in school choice, which is very positive, and his intentions on school choice, which I think are also very promising. And contrast that with places like Baltimore, which is run by Democrats, where up until at least a couple of years ago, they're busy taking down statues in post George Floyd. There was a point where I believe it was, if I remember the correct numbers in front of me, I don't have in front of me, but if I remember correctly, about 14, 15 junior highs and high schools in Baltimore, city of Baltimore, not one student was reading at grade level in math or reading at grade level or doing math at grade level. I don't mean 1%. I mean not one little boy, not one little girl, not one. I imagine the white suburbs nearby, you don't quite see the problem anywhere as bad as that. And that's one area where the GOP has something to offer, which is school choice and high academic standards. And the Democrats have no interest in, very little if any interest in school choice. And their interest seems to be, let's focus on DEI and critical race theory and all this other stuff and not teaching black kids basic skills they need to graduate and go on to successful careers and happy lives as American citizens.
Joy, we can criticize. I think it's very worthy of criticism, Barack Obama's message in the last couple of weeks. We can criticize Joe Biden's ridiculous comment to Charlemagne the God. But I think that there's a more positive outlook in thinking about what does Donald Trump, as the next president of the United States, do for people who are white and also happen to be black or brown or whatever it is. What do we have to look forward to? Should black voters, along with others, decide that, you know what, I might not even tell anybody about it, but this time I'm voting for Donald Trump. What does that do for them?
Well, I think if Trump is elected, I think a lot of us are looking forward to a return of the sort of policies we enjoyed 4 years ago when he was president. I think everyone asks a question right now before you cast your ballot. Are you better off now under Kamala Harris, or were you better off when Donald J. Trump was in the White House? I think most people would say, yeah, despite, his personality and the occasional comments he makes that are kind of jaw-dropping, we were much happier with 1.4% inflation as opposed to, 2.4, 2.5% inflation now, all the way down from 9.1% where it peaked under Kamala Harris. And we happy with an economy that's expanding with, at the time Trump was president, the lowest black unemployment rate in history, the lowest black poverty rate in American history. For those people who are concerned about income inequality came down dramatically under Donald J. Trump, not because the rich were made poorer, but because the rich were made richer and the poor were made richer. The income inequality was shrinking in exactly the way you want it, which was poor people moving up rather than rich people moving down. And then you look at the border, which was under control under Donald J. Trump, completely out of control, with 10 million or so people having broken into this country under Kamala Harris's reign as border czarina. And then you look overseas, we had Middle East peace agreements, four different Middle East peace agreements under the Abraham Accords, versus rockets flying between, you know, Hamas attacking Israel, Hezbollah attacking Israel, Iran attacking Israel, ships on the Red Sea being shot at by the Houthis with all kinds of chaos. Ukraine and Russia were within their own borders under Donald J. Trump versus open warfare in Europe like we've not seen since World War II. So by those measures and many others, life was better under the Trump presidency than under having Kamala in the White House now. And if you want to go back to those happier days we had then, I would say you want to go to the polls, cast your ballot, and make sure it says Donald J. Trump when you fill in the bubble.
Yeah, 100%. Deroy Murdoch with us right now. Last question before we let you go, Deroy, because I'm just kind of listening to what you're having to say right now, and I'm realizing that the consumption of what we're getting from the media, the messages that are getting out, the messaging towards Donald Trump, that he is somehow or another a racist. We really haven't seen that be pushed as much in this campaign as we have seen it be pushed in campaigns prior. Now, there are people who just believe it because the messaging was so there was such an onslaught of it in prior races. But are people moving past the idea that Donald Trump is somehow or another the boogeyman racist that he had been made out to be? Has he been able to crack that facade that has been created for him?
I think to a degree. I mean, you're still going to hear that sort of thing, and the more desperate the Democrats get, the more you're going to hear it. But when you had President Trump campaigning in the Bronx, you may recall during his trial here in New York City, he took it after the trial ended, he went up to Harlem and met mm-hmm. with a bodega owner up there, and he's been making an effort to appear before black audiences, the Black Journalists Association, et cetera. You know, if he's such a big racist, why is he spending so much time talking to black folks? And, you know, I think a lot of black people remember that life was much better when he was there in terms of lower crime, lower joblessness, higher economic growth, and that kind of thing. So I think that people are able to remember what life was like when he was there. Previously, remember, he was president. People like to pretend he wasn't president, and all these comments about, oh, he's a racist and he's worse than Hitler, blah, blah, blah. Well, he had 4 years to demonstrate any of that sort of thing, and we didn't see it. You know, even going so far in his very first month in office, I think it was about 3 weeks into his presidency, he invited the presidents of the historically black colleges and universities. There's a wonderful picture of him in the Oval Office, so about three dozen black college presidents, you know, huddled with him. And he said, among other things, you know, I'd like to have an office that's in the Department of Education, move into the Department of, or rather into the West Wing, into the White House, so he could keep an eye and make sure that HBCUs were taken care of. He provided a steady stream of income for them so they wouldn't have to come and beg for money every year like they did under Obama. And one small thing they asked for, apparently, students who are in historically black colleges and universities like to go to summer school, and Pell Grants and National Direct Student Loans, a lot of this financial aid was only available for the fall semester and the spring semester. There's nothing for summer school. And the HBCU president said, look, we asked Obama for 8 years, would you please make this financial aid available for summer school? And he completely ignored him. And Trump said, if that's what you'd like, we'll make it happen. Boom. Well, all of a sudden, black kids at historically black colleges and universities could use their financial aid for summer school. 8 years, these people begged Obama. He didn't do a thing for them. And they asked Trump once. They got it done. He got it done. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's a very positive thing. And this goes to show that, you know, the black folks are relying on the Democrats for help. They take us for granted. They assume we're going to vote for them. Obama's attitude is that they own us. And so, you know, we get very little satisfaction or love from these folks. And I think we're getting a lot more from Donald J. Trump. And I think we'll get even more than we have received if he's reelected, especially if it's with a considerable black vote as part of his winning majority.
Well, I'd encourage our listeners to check out your piece in the Spectator, and we thank you for being with us again, DeRoy. Always something interesting to talk to you about, so we're glad you're here with us today.
Okay, Annie, thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. DeRoy Murdoch, our friend and nationally syndicated columnist. He's always got pieces going out in all these different publications, Fox News contributor as well, and our regular 105 guest on Wednesdays. When we come back, Jim Carafano, usually a Tuesday guest, but he was on a plane yesterday. We're going to try to connect to him. We're going to talk about this. Was it a terrorist plot that was foiled that was supposed to take place on Election Day? How did this guy get into the country? What did he plan to do? Could it be that there are other people who are in our country who were not properly vetted that are looking to exact great danger and violence on the American people? Jim Carafano knows some things about this, and he'll speak to us next. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Foundation. Jim, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Buonasera, Señora Fry. ¿Cómo está?
Oh, bien, bien. Very good.
I'm in Rome, so I'm working on my Italian.
I don't know Italian, but it sounds beautiful.
Yeah, because you were speaking Spanish, but that's okay.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, this is standard operating procedure. The Chinese have an unbelievable global espionage network, and all these things that you've heard about in the past, like, hey, using Chinese students coming over here and maybe some of them could be spies. True. Professors recruiting American professors as spies, buying land and using that land to spy in the United States. Yeah, and it's been increasingly brazen, not just in the United States, but in other countries. And it's like, what do these guys have to do? I mean, do they have to walk up to the White House lawn and put a Chinese flag in the middle of the lawn before you get it? That this is a very, very serious effort to spy on the United States on par with what the Soviets did during the Cold War. And the difference is if you remember the Cold War, you know, we had J. Edgar Hoover and we're running around and we're looking for spies under every bedsheet. And now essentially we have a global spy network, which apparently we're all just indifferent to.
I didn't want that answer. So, I mean, is this a situation where we have an incompetent administration causing this to be worse? It's always been the case, so it's inflamed now because we're not paying attention to it?
Well, it's not that the U.S. intelligence doesn't know that it's out there. Now I'm just speculating because obviously I'm not in the U.S. government. I don't have an intelligence clearance, so I don't know what's going on inside Langley and outside FBI headquarters. But there are things that are pretty obvious to all of us. Regardless of what business you're in, you only have so many people and so much time and so many things to do. So one is this administration for 4 years has had a lot of priorities which have nothing to do with actually intelligence or enforcing the law. It's, you know, we can find resources to go and check out board meetings and school meetings to find out if parents are saying mean things. And we can peruse people's social media to see if they've said mean tweets about President Biden or something. But that is taking away resources from the day job. And the other thing is, unless this administration's been guilty of this many times, the Chinese do things which are completely in your face, and rather than be blunt and push back about it, we tend to excuse it or ignore it. And the Chinese balloon's a good example. The U.S. government knew that the Chinese were launching spy balloons. They knew that there was a spy balloon flying over the United States. They tried to ignore it and hide it. And it was only after an outrage happened that they responded. And then their response was incredibly stupid. We actually not only, dealt with, shot down, we actually sent U.S. Air Force planes up and we shot down weather balloons. Right, just to prove, that I guess that was their way of showing we're actually taking this threat seriously. Mm. So you have a government which doesn't really want to deal with the China threat, and you have a government which wants to essentially use law enforcement and intelligence agencies for their own purposes. So one of the byproducts of that is, are we not laser focused on the greatest intelligence threat against the United States? And the answer is, maybe that explains it.
Jim Carafano with us right now with the Heritage Foundation. I'm going to ask you a two-part question here. I don't know if they're connected. The FBI says, this is according to Fox News, the FBI says ISIS-K was behind a recently foiled terrorist plot aimed at carrying out a mass shooting on Election Day in the United States on Wednesday. The FBI arrested the individual, 27 years old, in Oklahoma last week on charges of planning to purchase two AK-47 rifles to carry out the attack. When we're talking about intelligence gathering by countries like China, but we're also at the same time living in a world where ISIS-K is plotting Election Day mass shootings with people who have found their way into the United States. Are these separate issues? Do these all come together? It seems as though we are in a very insecure moment in time in our own country.
Well, what's interesting about all three of those things is in one way or another, they were connected to not keeping track of who's coming in this country. The other thing, all three of these, because there are probably three major would-be terrorist attacks, which would have killed a lot of people if they had worked in the last year and a half that I can think of. In each case, they were foiled because they were just stupid terrorists that were easy to catch. Why isn't there more outrage? And, I've said this on your show so many times, right, that we are less safe now than we were on the day after 9/11 because we've dismantled everything we've built since 9/11 to make sure this never happens again. And the only reason we're not outraged is it's American, it's psychology. It's not just American. It's just how we all think is. Nobody, it's like when you almost hit a car, you just, I'm glad I didn't hit that car. And then you just drive on and forget about it. When you have the car accident, that memory sticks with you forever. So if it's a foiled terrorist attack, people just shrug their shoulders. And it's only when people really die that they go, oh, my God, how could this happen? So now we've had three would-be terrorist attacks, which would have killed a lot of people and been catastrophic to, but we shrug our shoulders because it didn't actually happen. We had a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center, not in 9/11, but years earlier, but it just flew up in the garage and really didn't do anything. And so we all just shrugged our shoulders. And we're not going to take this seriously until people die in mass numbers here, until we have our October 7th. But we could have had that three times already. And so to your point is, Why are we not reversing course? Why do we still have open borders? Why do we not have intelligence and law enforcement focused exclusively on intelligence and law enforcement threats? Why are we waiting? Yeah. Why do we have somebody running for president who says it's time for change when they're actually in the White House? They have an office in the White House, and they could be changing things today. And so, yeah, there's not a good answer to this question. Is we are sitting ducks, and we're doing nothing about it.
When you say why, do you think you know the answer to that question?
It defies human logic, right? If the tornado alarm goes off, you run for the cellar. If they say there's a hurricane coming, you pack your bags and you leave town. But we tell you the lights are blinking red. We have opened this country to so many threats, whether it's Chinese intelligence collection or the Chinese cyber attacks or infiltrating infrastructure or having open borders and letting terrorists come in the country. And we do nothing. I honestly don't have good answers for that, other than it's human nature, right? Nobody wants to buy insurance until the day after they've had an accident and they go, gee, I wish I had insurance, or I wish I got the warranty on the refrigerator. That's kind of the way we are. But, to be fair to the American people, that's why we elect governments. We elect governments to make sure that we don't have to go, that we can go to sleep at night and not worry about really terrible, horrible things happening, because we elect our government to take care of that. And we give them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I can show you tens of billions of dollars that went to pay for diversity and equity training and, giving money to Hamas so they could dig tunnels in Gaza. But I can't tell you that the government's actually doing the one thing you pay them to do, which is allow you to go to sleep at night and be confident that you can wake up in the morning and hug your children.
That's it. That's what it's about. Jim Carafano with us right now with the Heritage Foundation. When I look at, you listed out those questions, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And you're right, it defies common sense and logic. When I come up to that brick wall and I can't get any further trying to, game it out in my head, like, why would you be doing this? What is the outcome? I generally assume that the thing that I have identified as a problem, the other side doesn't see as a problem, because I'm looking for a solution to a problem that I have. If right. They're not looking for the solution, then maybe they don't identify it as a problem. Do you think that this administration has regret? Or do you think the Democrat Party has regret for opening the southern border to such an extent that people are coming here who wish us ill? And, we're so far down this road, we'll have to retread a new one in order to fix the problem that they've created?
No, so the generous answer to be say is, like, I'm a politician. And the crassest politician, the worst politician would say, look, if they don't vote me out of office, obviously I'm doing okay, right? Because that's the only thing I really care about. I'm not even sure these guys care about that. If they get voted out of office, do you think they're going to go back and say, boy, that open border thing was a dumb idea? Or, opening the country to the next 9/11 is a dumb idea. They're going to say, how do I get back in power? And this, to me, is the fundamental difference between not just Republicans and Democrats, but politically that divides us. Well, it's divided. There are two kinds of politicians in this world I discovered from all my travels and places I've been and all the different people I've talked to. It's almost like the laws of physics and gravity. There are people who run for office and their question is what can I do to satisfy people's needs and wants that will keep me in office? And there are people who say, what can I do to make sure I control power? Those are the two different politicians we have in the world today. And if you can't figure out which is which and, which is better for you, then, my friend, you are part of Darwin's, survival of the fittest, right?
Jim Carafano, one last note before we let you go on this individual who the FBI arrested that was going to engage in this Election Day terrorist plot. Fox News reports that Tahiti, which is his name, had previously worked as a security guard for the CIA in Afghanistan, and Fox News reported that he did not undergo vetting by the State Department for special immigration status. They tracked Tahiti donating to an ISIS-connected charity and viewing ISIS propaganda online, and a family member of the man who was arrested was also arrested in France this week for planning a separate attack. How does somebody work for the CIA in Afghanistan and get into this country without extra vetting? I mean, if they were on our radar, man, that's a phrase we continue to hear.
Well, you know, all I can say is this is somebody who kind of, I don't want to say grew up with the Department of Homeland Security post 9/11, because I'm a lot older, but, you know, was involved in kind of the whole debate and structure of Homeland Security, including the debate over the Patriot Act. And then I was advisor to three different secretaries in Homeland Security as part of the Homeland Security Advisory Council, including Democrats and Republicans. So, I mean, I've only been involved with this issue for 20 plus years. The scenario you just described, everything we did post 9/11 was to set up a system so people like that never got in the United States. And so the honest question to ask is, well, how did somebody like that get in the United States when we built the system to stop exactly the kind of people exactly the kind of red flags you just raised? You know, I remember, you know, during the Bush administration, I was trying to help a guy get a visa who was from Europe, and he couldn't get a visa to the United States. And so, you know, we did all these queries and we went to the Congress and said, well, why can't get a guy a visa? Well, he visited a country where there's terrorists. And we were like, yeah, he was in a NATO ally that was fighting the ISIS in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Of course he was there. They denied a guy from NATO a visa because he was in Iraq. And now we're literally letting the guys they were fighting in the country without even batting an eyelash. I mean, honestly, if you'd asked me 20 years ago if I would ever be living, you know, could we worry about, oh, we're going to turn, you know, America's going to become a fascist state and we're not going to. Instead, we've done the opposite. Rather than using a system to defend people, we're using the system to attack people and ignore the people that are trying to kill us. I couldn't have predicted this. You know, if you said, Jim, tell me the most wacky thing that could possibly happen here.
Jim, can I ask you one bonus question? Just 1 minute. I haven't talked to you since Tim Walz and the China stuff came out. Just a big, broad question. Does the Tim Walz China trips concern you?
It sends huge red flags to me. Again, you know, I'm in Rome. I've been all over the world. And one of the biggest things I hear about is what's called elite capture. The Chinese are everywhere, giving money to anybody that they can use to buy influence. And I don't know if Tim Walz, what his issues are or whatever. I just would say all the things that Tim Walz did with the Chinese are exactly the kinds of behaviors we see for the Chinese trying to buy elite capture and influence. Now, I didn't say he did anything wrong. I don't know if he did anything wrong. I'm just saying the people that the Chinese have in their pocket, the things he did, those are exactly the kind of things they did to get their pocket. But it's like, when you ask the question of how come we let, you know, all these Chinese students in our country and we ignore espionage, how do we let people fly drones over military bases? Why do we let people buy? Why do we let the Chinese Communist Party and the military wind up being owners for vast tracts of land outside of U.S. military bases? I don't know if they're doing anything wrong, but every place I go where I see where the Chinese do something wrong, it kind of looks like what you just described.
Red flags. In full disclosure, I Googled, it was a pleasure speaking with you, so I could say it to you in Italian, but I'm not even going to take a stab at it. But I'm going to tweet it at you.
Okay. Well, ciao, Annie.
Ciao. I got that one. Thank you. We appreciate you, Jim.
Bonus there.
They're very, very, very good. I can read Spanish. I have a thought. I have an idea. But out of respect to Jim Carafano, who is in Rome, I will copy and paste the Italian onto X and send it on its way to our dear friend Jim Carafano. Always wonderful to have him on the show. Red flags on the Tim Walz thing. I wish I would have asked that question a little bit earlier, but it came up to me and I had to know. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins back in studio. When we come back, our YouTube live chat poll, a little spillover from yesterday's conversation. We talked quite a bit about this yesterday. YouTube live chat poll, is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. I peeked at the results. Folks, they're close. Weigh in. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. So sweet when I've been hanging around. Welcome back. So I'm going to put this up on our live stream right now. Do you know how close we are right now to 10,000 subscribers, Mr. Ryan Wiggins?
I know the answer is close, but I don't know the number.
I think, was it you, Brad, that made one of your tree ornaments?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 10,000 subscribers for the Annie Fry Show. That was like a Christmas tree ornament / New Year's resolution, a goal of mine.
Yeah.
To benefit.
In 2024.
Yeah.
And we're... Oh, that's Jim Carafano. Jim Carafano hanging out in the bottom of our...
He can just be a part of everything if you want.
9,917. Wow. We only need 83 people.
That's gone up since I looked at it this morning.
Yeah, I know. 83 people. And so we've been talking about what should we commit to y'all if we get to 10,000 subscribers. And so here's the deal. We've talked with Johnny Brocks, and Halloween is around the corner. And if we get to 10,000 subscribers on the Annie Fry YouTube channel before Halloween, we will dress up for at least the 2 p.m. hour on Halloween. We gotta figure out. I don't want to commit. It's an October surprise waiting around the corner, and I don't want to be in a chicken costume when it's going down. Mm-hmm.
Israel strikes nuclear facilities in Iran.
I'm a little worried about that. I don't want to manifest it. But, however, what we've decided here is that if we get to 10,000 subscribers before Halloween, we will dress up for at minimum the 2 p.m. hour of the show. And we will wear costumes that the other two people on the show pick out for us.
Yeah, I'm not going to real easy on you.
Yeah, me? No?
I might on Brad, just so I can kind of keep him on my team are picking.
You and I, well, that's their strategy there.
Yeah.
I think the first thing, that's a good question. In what, oh, we've just added two subscribers. Okay, there they go. In what order should they be picked? Because I think that I should go with Brad to pick yours, and I should go with you to pick Brad's, and you guys should pick mine last.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't really care about the order. But when do we reveal what we've picked for each other? On Halloween, probably, or we know ahead of time?
Probably on the show. I'll have a video.
Yeah.
I'll make a video of it. So maybe we'll make the video of it and release the video that day.
Okay.
We have added 7 subscribers in the last 45 seconds.
Listen, all I want, I'm just going to veto one thing. Sexy clown. I'm not doing sexy clown.
What if it's just regular clown?
I'll do regular clown. But if I got to show some cleave or something, or some leg.
Cleaver.
I'm not doing
sexy clown with cleaver.
Look, if I'm a sexy clown, I'm not coming at you with a butcher's knife.
I just thought you missed an opportunity to say whatever you do is sexy, whatever it is.
No.
Popcorn bucket.
I guess that's probably true. That whatever I'm going to do, people are going to look at me like I'm meat. But I don't want to encourage that is what I'm saying.
There are just a few things that have to be kept in mind when we shop for costumes, which is we still have to be able to communicate professionally on the air, so we won't be able to cover our face in a complete mask because we won't be able to talk.
Right.
We still have to be able to have headphones on in some capacity. Doesn't mean we don't get creative with it, but yeah.
Yeah, and probably be able to see somewhat clearly.
Somewhat.
Like enough to see the screens.
What did you guys made me a giraffe 1 year?
Yeah. A giraffe. I like stuff that's just exceedingly stupid.
Like inanimate objects?
Yeah, just the dumbest thing we could possibly find. In fact, if we don't find one, I might have one at home that might be yours.
Brad has to agree on it.
Yeah. I have to agree on
it. I'm going
to
trust Brad to look out for me. And Brad's going to trust me to look out for him.
Yeah, there's no way you guys are.
You.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see if we're kind to one another.
The words, "Yeah, we went easy on you, Wiggins," are not going to happen on the show ever.
Well, we're down to needing 75 YouTube subscribers. So if you want to go vote in today's YouTube live chat poll, is Donald Trump a Christian? Go vote. Subscribe if you haven't yet. And we'll do something fun for Halloween. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.